3. Since it has given us life, let's maintain this life and not revert to our prior lifelessness. For Christ will never die again. For the death that he died to sin once. Romans 9:10. And he doesn't want us to be perpetually saved by grace, for then we would be devoid of all things. Therefore, he wants us to also contribute something from our end. Let's then contribute and preserve the life of our soul. And to understand what life in a soul is, let's learn from our body. For we say that the body is alive when it moves with a healthy kind of motion. But when it lies incapacitated or its movements are disorganized, such a life is more dreadful than any death. And should it utter nothing sensible but the words of the deranged, such a person is more pitiful than those who are dead. So also the soul, when it has no healthiness, appears dead even if it shows a sign of life. For instance, when it doesn't see gold as something common, but as something great and precious. Or when it doesn't think of the future, but wallows in the present. Or when it does one thing in the place of another. How can I tell that you have a soul? Is it not from its actions? When it doesn't perform its duties, is it not dead? For instance, when it shows no concern for virtue, but is greedy and breaks the law, how can I tell that you have a soul? Because you walk. But even irrational creatures do as well, because you eat and drink. But even wild beasts do. So because you stand upright on 2 feet, this convinces me more that you are a beast in human form. When you resemble one in all other aspects, but not in its posture, you become scarier to me, and I consider that what I see as a monster. If I saw a beast speaking with a man's voice, I would not for that reason say it was a man, but even for that very reason a beast more monstrous than a beast. How then can I learn that you have a man's soul? When you act like an ass, when you are spiteful like a camel, when you bite like a bear, when you ravage like a wolf, when you steal like a fox, when you are crafty as the serpent, when you are shameless as the dog. How can I learn that you have a man's soul? Can I show you a dead soul and a living one? Let's revert to those old men, and if you will, let's consider the rich man from the story of Lazarus, and we'll understand what death in a soul is, because his soul was dead, and it is evident from his actions. He did not perform any of the duties of the soul, but ate and drank and merely lived in pleasure. Such are even now the unmerciful and cruel, for they too have a dead soul as he did. Their warmth that flows from the love of our neighbor has been lost, and it is deader than a lifeless body. But the poor man was not like him, but shone out by standing at the very pinnacle of heavenly wisdom. Despite dealing with constant hunger and not even provided with the necessary food, he spoke nothing blasphemous against God, but bore it all bravely. This is not a trivial task of the soul, but a very high indication that it possesses a healthy and vibrant soul. Also, when these qualities are absent, it is clearly because the soul is dead. Or, tell me, shall we not declare that soul dead which the devil attack, strikes, bites, kicks it, and yet it has no sense of any of these things, but lies there numb nor grieves when being deprived of its wealth? The devil even jumps on it, yet it remains unmoved, like a body when the soul departs or even feels it. For when the fear of God is not present with strictness, the soul must be this way, and then the dead are more miserable. For the soul doesn't decompose into decay and ashes and dust, but into things of fouler aroma than these, into drunkenness and anger and greed, into inappropriate loves and untimely desires. But if you wish to realize more accurately how foul it smells, give me a pure soul, and then you'll more precisely perceive how foul the aroma of this filthy and impure one is. For as long as we are regularly in contact with a foul smell, we are not aware of it. But when we are nourished with spiritual words, then we will become aware of that evil. And yet many consider this to be unimportant, and I'm not even mentioning hell, but let's explore the present and examine how worthy of ridicule is he, not that practices, but that utters filthiness, how he first humiliates himself, just as one that splutters filth from the mouth, so he taints himself. If the stream is this impure, think of the state of its source. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Matt 9:34. But my grief isn't just for this, but because some don't even consider this to be counted amongst inappropriate thing. Hence the evils are all worsened when we sin, and don't even realize we're doing wrong.